Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman member by Ram Gold and Dir Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Beis, the 8th Perek Ben Sora Mora. The Zikhu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zikhu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Habam Machteres Nidon Al Shem Sofa, a burglar who enters someone's home is judged based on his ultimate end and may be killed. This is based on the pasuk which says about such a burglar, ein lo damim, he has no blood, meaning he's like a dead man and may be killed. Rava explains the law. Chazak ein adam mamin atzma al mamona. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. Since he threatens the owner's life, we apply the rule, im balu hargo hashkem hargo. If one comes to kill you, preempt him and kill him first. Point number two, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then im ein lo damim pater, if he has no blood, meaning he's an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he is pater from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time because we say, kamlei b'derabim mineh, he's always subject to the greater punishment. Rav said that one who tunneled into someone's house and stole utensils is exempt from returning them, even if they're still extant, because b'damu kunenehu, he has acquired them with his blood. Rav explains Rav's reasoning. A burglar who cannot be killed, meaning if the burglar is his father, is responsible for the stolen items, even if they are lost through an onus, which proves b'rishusei kaime, they are in the burglar's possession. Thus, they become the burglar's property, and since here he could have been killed, he could not become liable in any monetary obligation, even to simply return them. Rav himself disagrees and says the stolen goods are only in the burglar's possession regarding responsibility for their loss, but not to acquire them. This is similar to a borrower who's responsible for all mishaps, although the item is not his. And point number three, Rav Huna says, Katana Rodov, a miner who's chasing someone to kill him, Nitin Lahatzil Benafsho, the victim may be saved with the pursuer's life, meaning he may be killed. Rav Huna holds that a Rodov can be killed without Hasra, so the law applies equally to a Katan. Rav Chisid challenged Rav Huna from a mission which states that although before a baby is born it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, Yatsarosha in Nogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch, meaning kill it to save the mother, Lefisha in Dochin Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh, because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rodev, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different to Mishamayk Rutfila, because it's from Shemayim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother, the danger is happening on its own. The Gemara below concludes that there may be a Tanu who requires Hasra for a Rodef. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Abba Melech Teres Nidon Al Shem Sofa, a burglar who enters someone's home is judged based on his ultimate end and may be killed. This is based on the pasuk which says about such a burglar, ein lo damim, he has no blood, meaning he's like a dead man and may be killed. Rav explains the law. Chazak ein adam mamin atzma al mamona. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. Since he threatens the owner's life, we apply the rule, im balu hargo hashkem hargo. If one comes to kill you, preempt him and kill him first. Point number two, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then im ein lo damim pater, if he has no blood, meaning he's an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he is pater from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time because we say, kamlei b'derabim mineh, he's only subject to the greater punishment. Rav said that one who tunneled into someone's house and stole utensils is exempt from returning them, even if they're still extant, because b'damu kunenehu, he has acquired them with his blood. Rav explains Rav's reasoning. A burglar who cannot be killed, meaning if the burglar is his father, is responsible for the stolen items, even if they are lost through an onus, which proves b'rishusei kaime, they are in the burglar's possession. Thus, they become the burglar's property, and since here he could have been killed, he could not become liable in any monetary obligation, even to simply return them. Rav himself disagrees and says the stolen goods are only in the burglar's possession regarding responsibility for their loss, but not to acquire them. This is similar to a borrower who's responsible for all mishaps, although the item is not his. And point number three, Rav Huna says, Katana Rodov, a miner who is chasing someone to kill him, Nitin Lahatzil Benafsho, the victim may be saved with the pursuer's life, meaning he may be killed. Rav Huna holds that a Rodov can be killed without Hasra, so the law applies equally to a Katan. Rav Chisda challenged Rav Huna from a mission which states that although before a baby is born it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, Yatsarosha in Nogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch, meaning kill it, to save the mother, Lefisha in Dochin Nefesh, Mipnei Nefesh, because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rotev, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different than Mishamaik Rudfila, because it's from Shemaim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother, the danger is happening on its own. The Gemara below concludes that there may be a Tanu who requires Hasra for a Rodef. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Ayin Beis, and this Siman was suggested to us by Rabbi Shaya Klein from Manchester, England. He suggested that Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake, Ayin Beis of thick, and we use a thick piece of cake to make the Siman more concrete. So here goes. The cake thief, risking his life, tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. Once again, slow motion. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must be on Daf Ayin Beis of thick. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, which reminds us, a burglar who enters a house by machteris may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner. Rav explains this law. Chazakein adam mamin atzma mamono. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then ein lo damim, if he has no blood, meaning he is an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he's patur from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time, because we say, kamlei b'derabi mineh, he's only subject to the greater punishment. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. Which reminds, the Mishnah states that although before a baby is born, it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, Yatsarosho Enogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch it, meaning to kill it, to save the mother. Levisha ein dochin nefesh mifnei nefesh, because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rotev, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different because it's from Shemaim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother. The danger is happening on its own. So once again, the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Samech Ches. So the symbol for Daf Samech Ches is Schach. So here goes. The rabbis gathered around the great sage's Schach-covered canopy bed. Schach? That must be on Daf Samech Ches. The rabbis gathered around the great sage's schach-covered canopy bed, whose two arms resembled rolled-up Sifrei Torah, which reminds us, the Gemara relates how the sages came to visit Rabbi Eliezer on his deathbed. Rabbi Eliezer placed his arms on his heart and said, Oy lechem shtei zoroisai, woe to you, my two arms, shehen kishtei Sifrei Torah sheniglalin, which are like two Torah scrolls which are being rolled up, meaning my Torah will be inaccessible after my passing. So the rabbis gathered around the great sage's schach-covered canopy bed, whose two arms resembled rolled-up Sifrei Torah, mourned his passing as one rabbi struck his flesh until his blood flowed to the ground, which reminds us, after Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva met Rabbi Eliezer's funeral procession going from Kesari to Lod and was striking his flesh until his blood flowed to the ground. Tosfos explains, this did not transgress making a seret lenefesh, a cut for the dead, because Rabbi Akiva was mourning the Torah knowledge loss, not Rabbi Eliezer's soul. Rabbi Akiva opened his hesped for Rabbi Eliezer in the funeral line, saying, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav, my father, chariot of Yisrael and its horsemen, Harbe Maus Yeshli, I have much money, Ve'enli Shulchani L'Hartzosan, but I have no money changer to present it to, meaning I have many questions, but no one to ask. So the rabbis gathered around the great sage's schach-covered canopy bed, whose two arms resembled rolled-up Sifrei Torah, mourned his passing as one rabbi struck his flesh until his blood flowed to the ground, and didn't notice the little kid in the shade of the schach eating meat and drinking wine with money that he stole from his parents, who was too young to become a bensor or more, which reminds us that katan cannot become a bensor or more. Rav explains that the words li'ish ben in the pasuk are read together to teach ben hasamach gvaso shel ish, a son who is close to a man's strength, meaning just after reaching adulthood. Daf Samach Tet. So the siman Daf Samach Tet is soot, and we use a chimney sweep for the siman. So here goes. The boy chimney sweep. Chimney sweep? That must be around Daf Samach Tet. Soot. The boy chimney sweep, who was not chayv as a ben sor or mora, because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, which reminds us, a bryce from Rishmael's yeshiva taught ben v'lo av. Only a son can become a ben sor or mora, but not one who is a father. Rav Shmuel's drush has explained, ben v'lo harui lakroso av. Only a son can become a ben sor or mora, but not one who's fit to be called a father. Once he's an adult for 3 months and a pregnancy from him would be noticeable, he's excluded from the law of ben sor or mora. So the boy chimney sweep, who was not chayv as ben sor or mora, because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, being that it was a full 3 months since his bar mitzvah and not less because we go after Rove, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua inferred from Rabbi Kruspadai that a boy is Rui Krosso of after 3 months of adulthood, that the pregnancy of a woman who gives birth after just 7 months instead of 9 is not noticeable after a third of her days, meaning 2 1/3 months, but after 3 months. Otherwise, a boy should be excluded from Ben Sor more in less than 3 months, since he can impregnate a woman who gives birth after 7 months. Ravina rejected the proof, saying, Zilbasa Ruba will follow the majority. Since most women give birth after 9 months, he's not Rui Kroso of until after 3 full months. So the boy chimney sweep, who is not chayv as a ben sor mora because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, since it was a full 3 months since his bar mitzvah, and not less because we go after Rov, had a long family history of doing things young, as his ancestors became a great-grandfather at the young age of 26, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to prove that 8-year-olds of previous generations fathered children. After the first attempts are rejected, the Gemara eventually proves that Betzalel was 26 years younger than his great-grandfather, Kalev. After subtracting 2 years for the pregnancies of the 3 generations, it emerges that 3 generations fathered children over 24 years, proving that each generation fathered a child at age 8. Daf Ein, so the Siman Daf Ein is an eye doctor. So here goes. The eye doctor, that must be my Daf Ayin, eye. The eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the ill effects of wine and how it can ruin people. Rav Chanan said, "Lenivra yan ba'olam ela nachem avelim l'sham schar l'rashayim." Wine was only created in the world to comfort mourners and to give earthly reward to the wicked. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, "Vai, vai, vai," as he mumbled something about Noach's tent, which reminds us, over Gwila, Darshan, that the letter Vav is written 13 times in the incident of Noach planting a vineyard and becoming drunk to hint to cries of Vai Vai, whoa, whoa. Rav and Shmuel debate what Noach's son, Cham, did to him. One says, Sereso, he castrated him. The other says, Ravo, he had relations with him. The first opinion says that because Cham disabled Noach from having a fourth son, Noach cursed Canaan, Cham's fourth son. The other opinion responds that Cham did both. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, Vai, 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 as he mumbled something about Noach's tent. Notice the young boy had brought a photo of himself drinking wine and eating meat at a chaburah's mitzvah convened for Ibra Chodesh, which reminds us, Rabbi Avo said that one only becomes a ben sora or mora if he ate at a gathering, shakula srikin, who are all good for nothings. This is a challenge from the Mishnah, which taught that if he ate at a gathering involving a mitzvah, meaning the meal convened for Ibra Chodesh, he does not become a ben sora or mora, implying that as long as it was not a mitzvah gathering, he would be liable. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah teaches that even if he did eat at a gathering of idlers, since he was involved in a mitzvah at this gathering, he's not liable because l'mimshich, he will not be drawn to continue doing so. Daf Ayin Alf. So the Siman Daf Ayin Alf is a donkey going, ee-aw. So here goes. While the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the parsha of Ben Sor Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys. Donkeys? That must be on Daf Ayin Alf. Ee-aw. While the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the parsha of Ben Sor Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys taking their son to Beis Din, which reminds us, and Bryce Rabbit explains that the Ben Sor's mother must be Shava L'Avi B'Kol U'B'Maru U'B'Koma, similar to his father in voice, appearance, and height. Because this is nearly impossible, Rabbi Yehuda may be the Tana who said, Ben Sor Mora Lohaya Vola Asilios. There was never a Ben Sor Mora, and there never will be. And the reason it was written in the Torah was Drosh B'Kavoschar. go darshan and receive reward for doing so. Rabbi Yonason reports having sat on the grave of a Ben Sora Mora. So while the rabbi was getting scarred for darshaning in the parsha of Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height, riding on donkeys, taking their son to Beis Din, a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach and then converted, walked out of Beis Din exempt, which reminds us, the Braisa states that a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach or had relations with his fellow's wife and converted is exempt since he would not be executed for doing so now. So while the rabbi was getting scarred for darshaning in the parsha of Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys, taking the son to Beis Din, a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach and then converted, walked out of Beis Din exempt, and was astonished when he saw a Ben Sora Mora on a donkey with meat and wine in his hand, heading down the wrong path towards Amanda, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a Ben Sora Mora is Nidon Oshem Sofo, is judged based on his ultimate end, because we say, Yamu Zakai Val Yamus Chayv, let him die innocent and not die after he becomes guilty of murder. And a bride's Rabbi Yossi Aglia explains, does he deserve to be stoned for consuming a tartamer of meat and a log of Italian wine? Rather, the Torah foresaw his ultimate end. After depleting his father's assets, he'll seek to maintain his habit and rob people on the crossroads and murder those who resist. Therefore, it's better that he should die while he's still innocent. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn why the powers of sorcery are called kishuf and whether they can go against a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will? That's on Dov. Samach Zion. Good number two. Which stuff do you want a burglar who enters a house but machteris may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner? That's on Dov. Ayin Beis. Good number three. Which stuff do you want a Ben Sora Mora's parents must be equal in height, appearance, and voice in the Smalchokas if there ever was a Ben Sora Mora? That's on Dov. Ayin Av. Good number four. Which stuff do you want with a Ben Sora Mora we calculate 3 months from a 9-month pregnancy since we go after Rove? That's on Dov. Samech Tes. Good number five, which of the one a katan who is a rodef may be killed, and we discuss killing a baby during childbirth to save the mother. That's on Dov. Ayin Beis. Good number six, which of the one does not become a Ben Sora Mora if he ate and drank at a chaburis mitzvah. That's on Dov. Ayin. Good number seven, which of the one about a burglar is exempt from paying damages because of kamli b'derabi minei. That's on Dov. Ayin Beis. Good number eight. Which stuff do you discuss whether an adulterer of a katana mu'arasa gets chenek? That's on Dov. Samach Vav. Good number nine. Which of the one a katan cannot become a Ben Sora Umura? That's on Dov. Samach Hes. Good number ten. Which stuff do you learn a Ben Noach who kills another Ben Noach and then converts is pater? That's on Dov. Ayin Off. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.